Well, welcome here. I hope you have looked forward to this. I have. I didn't realize when Ruby and I asked if we could have this session, I hadn't thought about it being the very last session. So with that in mind, we're at the end of the week, and I've thought to myself, I wish so badly I could know what each of you are thinking. I wish I knew what you're taking home with you, what you're excited about, what you've repented of, what your motivation for pursuing the future is. But obviously I can't, but someone does. The Lord knows your very thoughts. You know, when you walked in here Monday morning, you had less to be responsible for than you have now. You are now responsible for more. And God knows what you're going to do with it. What we want for you is that your lives would glorify God more from here out than they ever have before because of being here this year. That's our heart for you. Okay, some of you have yellow cards instead of blue. What that means is that I ran out of blue paper. We talk a lot about what we do, what we wear, where we go, where we don't go. A lot about our choices, from everything from kind of coffee we like to what kind of music we like. Little things and big things. We all make choices. People see who we are by our choices, but God knows who we are before anything shows up, because God knows our mind. There's a little saying that says, there are three people living in you. There's who you think you are, there's who other people think you are, and then there's who God knows you are. So there is a you that God knows you are in your mind that's never been expressed. And that's my burden today. My concern today is that we love the Lord our God with all our mind. That's what I want to talk to you about today. I would like some interaction. Ruby has a handheld mic, so there's going to be times when I'm going to ask for things from you. Get your hand up, and so we can have some interaction back and forth here. There's who you think you are, who other people think you are, and who God knows you are. Because God knows your mind, and sometimes our own minds deceive us. People don't know until they see us, but God knows before it's ever reflected. That's why it's so important that we love God with our whole mind. The first and most important commandment, he said, is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. It's worded different places. So I want to talk to you today about loving God with your whole mind, because if you love God with your whole mind, your whole life is going to bear fruit out of that fact. I remember Mick saying to me one time, Mama, I really do think I love God with my whole heart, at least the best I know to do. And I'm putting all my strength into loving God. And if anybody, any of you know Mick, you know he does. But he said, how do I know if I love God with my whole mind? Have you ever thought about, do I love God with my whole mind? I want to pray just a bit. Ask God that question as we pray, and then Ruby has the mic. I'd like to hear from some of you if you have a thought on you on that. How are you going to know whether you love God with your whole mind or not? Okay, let's talk to God just a bit. Lord, we just continue to need you, and thank you so much that you are there. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. God, we want to love you with our whole beings, with our whole minds. We do. I pray, God, that you would help me to unburden my heart today to these girls, that they would get a hold of this for their protection, for their power, for your glory, Lord. Amen. So who has a thought? How do you know whether you love God with your whole mind or not? Caitlin?
I would say, like, if whatever your mind, whatever you think about the most, like whatever stuff you dwell on the most, if you're if you just think about that all day, or if you're just like, yeah, just what you dwell on through your life, and what you put your mind to, and like what you, yeah, you just always think about. That's my, what I think.
Good. I think so. Anybody else?
I guess I would kind of think that if you're living in obedience to God as far as you know how, then that would be an indicator of if you love God with your whole mind.
Good. Obedience. Good. This is kind of a big room. We're going to have Ruby worn out.
I thought maybe when you reach a tough situation, if you're ever in a position where you feel pressured or anyone's talking to you, if your first reaction is to talk to God about it, even if you can't do it verbally, like if you take that moment, you go, okay, Lord, what should I do? Or you think about God as the first reaction when you're scared. I think that's a good way.
Very good. What's your first response? Who do you turn to first? Jennifer had her hand up here. That's very good. My next question for you is going to be, what are some of the most common mind battles we face? So you can be thinking about that. Jennifer, how else do you know?
I was going to say, like, how God gives the command to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so many times it's easy for so many thoughts to come into our mind, but to really assess every single thought that comes into our mind. Does it glorify God? Is it uplifting? Is it encouraging? Is it praiseworthy? And just to not allow any thoughts to come into our mind. The battles that we fight in our mind, you know, to fight them according to God's word and His scripture.
Good. Good. Okay. Good. I have two heads up here, and actually at home when Mark and I made them, they looked pretty big, but they probably look pretty small to you back there. This guy's mind just has a big question mark in it. And this guy's mind, till we get done, we want it full of the love of God. Okay? So that's just what those two heads up there are representing. Good. Thank you, girls. A lot of good ways to judge ourselves, whether we love God with our whole mind or not. So if I ask you, do you all love God with your whole minds? Could you all raise your hands real high, or would you kind of go like this? What do you think? Do you love God with your whole mind? Sister Ruby's old enough too, praise God. Okay, good. It's good to hesitate. It doesn't hurt anything to hesitate. I really think all of us could say yes, because that's our desire. And if I just said, how many of you want to love God with your whole mind? Then what? Amen. Amen. And that's good. So, that's good. We're going to write up here, I love God, because we want to. Okay? We're starting to fill our mind with loving God. We want to. That's first of all, we want to. All right. What are some mind battles that we all face? I have a list of few here, but what do you think? What's one of the first things you think about when you talk about a mind battle? A battle in your mind that hinders your love for God. Susan?
I think one battle I think we all could agree with is what others think of us.
What others think of us.
The way we act and talk and everything can really hinder what God would want to do in our life if we allow that to take control.
Good. Anybody else? Deborah up here, Ruby. If somebody close to the one talking has something to say, you'll save Ruby a lot of steps.
Good exercise. All right,
Sister Ruby.
I was thinking attitude. When we're in a situation and sometimes my first attitude is, I don't want to do this, I don't want to. And just having that right attitude at responding correctly.
So what Susan mentioned, I would call self-conscious, right? That'd be right? What you mentioned is attitude. Is that sort of selfish? You think that's sort of selfish too? Go ahead, Sarah Grace.
One thing I think that we definitely could agree on is thinking
a battle to keep our thoughts in the right place about guys.
About guys. Okay. So guys are a problem. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Who else? Alicia. Self-conscious. Worried about peer pressure. Me. What do people think of me?
I think we are almost always comparing ourselves with the next girl or somebody else. It would be like girls for the girls.
And can somebody tell me what the Bible says about that? Not wise. Doesn't produce very good fruit, does it? There's self in that, isn't there? Anybody else? Emily?
I was thinking one would be our future, like not just leaving it lay and trusting it to God, but always trying to plan it or think about it.
God, what do you have for my future anyway? Jennifer? Ruby? Jennifer up here in front? Yeah.
I was thinking one that's so easy for all of us and even myself to do is negativity, and that leads to bitterness and anger and hurt, you know, to keep our thoughts on positive things because that's keeping the light of Christ in our life.
Negativity, right. What does negativity reflect? Not trusting God, maybe? My fears are bigger than my God? Ooh, that sounds bad, doesn't it? Anybody else? Martha?
I think the root is also pride.
I think just dissatisfaction, whether it's we women tend to be more perfectionist type and we want everything better, and if it's not, it doesn't turn out that way, then we're not satisfied.
Discontent. Yeah. So that started with my own ideas, right? We kind of chafe if God doesn't agree sometimes. Anybody else? Sarah.
I was just thinking about worrying, just in general, worrying about things.
Worry. Worry. Yeah. Probably God's not going to take care of me, right? I mean, if I don't fret about it, what might happen? Yeah. Jenny?
Sorry. I was thinking about discouragement, that we have to learn just to trust in God and not let our minds become discouraged.
Good. Discouragement. Discouragement. Okay. Okay, good, thank you. What about believing God loves me? God really values me. Does anybody ever deal with that in their mind? Does God really love me? I know it says He loves. Does He love me? Forgiveness. Do we ever let unforgiveness cloud our minds? Maybe things from the past, or even not forgiving ourselves? Okay, I have discouragement, condemnation, rejection, sinful desires that come up. What about empty-mindedness? Just simply empty-mindedness. Not thinking about anything. Letting come in whatever comes in. There's a lot of things that can fill our mind. We face that. There really are. You all face more than I think Ruby and I did. Social media brings in an incredible amount of input to your mind that we didn't face. Okay. There were not a lot of questions in the box, but many of what were in there were very similar, and it was this thing about what a problem guys are. Okay? So I do want to give some time to that here. It's normal. God made you with a desire for a companion. Don't ever think that's wrong, and don't fight it, that fact. I remember when our Jenny was getting older, 22, 23, She'd come and say, Daddy, I keep repenting, but it just won't go away. Everything I read in the Bible says I'm just supposed to be a wife and a mother. And we told her, no, Jenny, you don't repent. God gave that desire to you. There's nothing to repent of there except unless you're letting your mind go where it shouldn't. So accept it. It's a normal longing in your heart. It's normal for you to wonder what your future is going to be and who or if you get to share it with someone. That's okay. I know one of the questions was, I admire him, so how do I keep my thoughts, think negative stuff about him? And I'd say no, I don't think that's a very good thing to do. It's okay, again, to have your ideas of what you want in a young man. In fact, I want you to. You need to aspire for godly qualities or you'll settle for less, and you don't want to settle for less. So that's okay to admire quality in an individual. There's nothing wrong with that. Do I ignore him? Well, the answer to that might be yes. Sometimes if the situation has gotten to a place, but no. I think young men and young ladies should be able to relate in a very pure and godly way. That's not wrong. Flirting, flaunting yourself, flipping your eyes, your body, obviously, we all know that's ugly. That's just ugly. That's not pure. That's not holy. That's not sweet. Can you stand and have a conversation with a young man where you can glance at him and glance away for the most part and glance at him and glance away? Yes, you can. And you need to be able to do that with a pure heart. But you need to love God with your whole mind. And then your mind is not going to be so troubled with doing this wrong. This is why it's important that I love God. My mind has to be full of love for God, not for myself. Notice how many of these over here were self, self, self. Loving God is going to take care of self. Loving God is going to take care of this issue with how do I handle guys. Accept that it's normal. Accept that there's a right and okay way to do it. But you get focused on loving God with your whole mind, and that will answer your question an awfully lot. And I know that's a big blanket, and I know it's a big thing to you, but I think this thing of loving God with your whole mind is a big thing, and it will answer a lot of those questions that came up over there. It will answer all of them, really. I believe it will. And that's why it's so important to me to talk to you about it. Remember the other night, Brother Jerry said, what's the main event in your life? It's kind of what Caitlin said. You can tell that by what you talk about, what you think about, what you do with your time. How much do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus, or is he just kind of a duty you need to fulfill? What's the main event in your life? I think Brother Mark or Brother Frank said something about if you harbor something in your mind, it will cleave to your heart. Obviously, all the things they've said all week about your mind have popped out to me, but it's true. So this young man that you're not wanting to give your heart to, it has to stop in your mind. Don't harbor it in your mind so it can't cleave to your heart. It's not that you hate young men, but you hate the idea of breaking God's heart by you having any love before God himself. You don't have to hate young men, but you need to love God with your whole mind. You need to hate the thought of giving any part of your own heart away until it's God's will. You need to hate the thought of just disappointing your Savior in any way. And this is one of your greatest temptations. I guess to me, Philippians 4 is probably your best answer to that. How do I deal with this? It starts in your mind, and you need to think on what is true. And I know there's a list of things there to think on, but if you stop at think on what is true, that's going to protect your mind. What's true is he's not yours any more than one of these other men around here is mine. It would disgust you, I would hope, if you saw me standing over this week talking to some man, flipping my eyelids and flopping my body, and I would hope you would ask me to go home. I would. And that young man that you're standing there talking to isn't any more yours. In fact, he probably never will be. It's a sad thought to think that you left a smudge on your heart or his because of your actions. See, if you love God, you're not going to stand there and act like that. Not if you're filling your mind up with loving God. It's not going to happen. That's your safety. Love God with your whole mind. Another real practical thing you can do, and I know this helped our girls, talk to Dad and Mom about it. Be accountable. If there's a young man you're finding yourself admiring, tell him. Tell him quickly and keep yourself accountable. It just helps. Just to put yourself under authority that way. You can maybe need to take some practical steps. Don't place yourself right in his path. Like I said, there might be a time to ignore him. If it's a struggle, not be rude. Not be un-Christ-like. But you can be wise. I think the most important thing is to exercise in loving God with your whole mind. That's going to take care of those things. I would say that a warning sign, if you want to keep asking yourself, do I love God with my whole mind? One warning sign is just what Caitlin said. If your mind is constantly struggling with something, then there's an area in there that's still being taken up by something besides loving God. Begin to exercise in loving God with your whole mind. Here's another warning sign. Do you need noise all the time? You know, a CD going, earbuds in, listening to something, maybe it's messages, entertainment of some kind all the time. You need to be texting all the time. Huge red flag, girls. Even if it's good, even if what you're listening to is good, it's somebody else's mind. And God wants your mind. He wants you to be constantly, constantly, constantly filling your mind with love for Him. I do all those things. I listen to messages. I listen to music. I have music going when I work in the kitchen sometimes. There are things that can inspire worship and praise. I realize that. But if you find you're wanting noise all the time, I would encourage you to search your heart and see if... Are you afraid to think? Maybe you're afraid to think, and if that's the case, face it and find someone to help you figure out why you're afraid to think. Maybe you just don't love God enough and your mind is too full of too many things that are not very happy. Maybe you're just lazy. Maybe you're filling your mind with noise all the time just because you're too lazy to do anything else with it. Let me warn you now, let me beg you, now is your time to be growing in loving God. Lord willing, someday, whether you're a wife, a mother, a nurse, a school teacher, a missionary, someday you're not going to have as much time as you do now. And you may feel like you're busy now, and I'm sure some of you are. I hope you are. But now's the time to learn to love God with your whole mind, and we'll get to how to exercise in that. Let's talk a little bit about guarding other people's minds. I mentioned a little with a flirty spirit what that can do to a young man, but... And I know that social media issue may be an overdone topic, and I know so little about it, frankly, I can't even talk very intelligently. But I do have a concern. We don't do social media at our house. Mark and I have gone onto Facebook a time or two checking out applications for Bible school, and it's not hard to unsign and be done with it. Not hard at all. Now, I know some of you... Probably, I'm guessing, spend a good bit of time on it. Maybe some of you are addicted to it. I'm not asking for answers, but I'd like you to answer some of these questions in your own mind for your own life if social media is a big part of your scene. Because I'm concerned about this. Your mind and others. Do the pictures I post cause others to use their minds to think about me instead of loving God? How pretty I am, what a cool trip I took, what fun I had with my friends. Where do the pictures and posts that I put on there take others' minds? Are they pointing them to Christ? And I know there are some good things on there, and I know it can be used for good. Personally, I'll choose my spreading good in another way. There's just too much evil wrapped in there. But are your posts showing that you love God with all your mind? And God bless you if they do. When others look at your post, can they tell that your mind is full of Jesus? And what are your posts doing to the mind of a young man? That big friendly smile, or that seductive pose, or that sassy expression. Girls, please, get a hold of my passion to help others with their minds, too. Help others keep their minds on God. Do those likes and those thumbs up kind of give you some kind of a fleshly boost? Are they distracting you from loving God with your whole mind? Remember what Brother Rick said? He said, the gift of a renewed mind is for the benefit of all mankind. Girls, don't cause someone else to stumble. God has given you the gift of a renewed mind, and you don't have to stumble anybody. Okay, I'm going to want some of your input here. I'm going to move on to, is it okay to allow just a little bit of what pleases my flesh? I mean, really, is it okay? How about if I just keep a little corner out here that doesn't love God? Just a little bit. Just a little bit of space for some casual. A little bit borderline. Is that okay? Okay. Tell me, what have been either your experience or what you observed in the life of someone who you could see allowed just a little bit of space for self? Didn't love God with their whole mind. Anybody? Your experience? Haley, up here on this table. Haley, I'm sorry.
Maybe this should be kind of obvious, but in my experience, a little bit never stays a little bit.
Good. A little leaven leavens the entire lump. Anybody else? Gabrielle?
In my experience, letting a little bit of self in is going to be like cancer. It's going to spread, and you're not going to be able to get it out very easily.
Amen. Bethany, go ahead. We'll get to you, Gabriel.
I think maybe if we would just add a little bit in, then you can sometimes easily end up living two lives. I don't know, like a secret life and a church life, or whatever you want to say.
Good. So is it possible? Is it possible to love God with your whole mind and also feed yourself? God didn't give us two minds, did he? At the end of the table there behind you, Ruby.
My experience, and a couple years ago, I reassessed a lot of my reading material and stuff, that what you put in your mind, especially when it's something that someone else wrote or someone else, you know, drew or something like that, it can really affect your thought life. And when your thought life is affected, that ongoing struggle makes you distracted from how you're acting or what you're saying. And a lot of times, you know, your speech, my speech especially, is something that I struggled to make sure that it was, you know, things that were worth value, that had value to them, that would edify other people. And it can really easily become something you're really lackadaisical with if you just put too much in there and you're worried too much about what's internal.
Good. You know, we become like what we feed our minds, right? What we eat, we become. It's the same thing in our mind. That's why we want to love God. Don't we want to become like God? How are we going to become like God? We need to love him with our whole mind. Okay. Anybody else? This is good. Hannah.
I think the first and greatest commandment has the word all for a reason.
Amen. All your mind. God knew. God knew. So let's get rid of this right here right already. Let's just fill it with love, shall we? Go ahead, Sarah Grace.
In my experience, I'm dreaming of marrying somebody someday that loves me with all of his... not in a bad way. I want him to love God first.
Sure.
But, like, I don't want him to love some other girl, too, with that part of him that should be for me. And so I think God probably feels the same way about me.
Amen. He surely does. Jennifer, here, Ruby.
I found in my life it's so much easier to, once you lose things, it's so much harder to gain it back after you lose things. And I've seen that in lives of some friends that, like, I've just seen through my Christian life where, you know, some people just, one, just allowing a little bit of self in, then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until sometimes it's the love of God is completely almost washed out.
Amen. So, if you say no to God in some little thing, okay, it's just a harmless change, it's just a little tiny thing, nobody may notice. If you say no to God in your mind, I promise you, girls, it's going to take you somewhere you never thought it would. Fruit, big pumpkins come from a little seed. Something that began in the mind and was allowed to breed will produce a good fruit. I think probably all of us have watched people go where they never dreamed they'd go. We probably all today can think of someone who's in a place where they said they'd never be. And they didn't jump there in one big lump. It started with one little mind thought. Transgendered. Remarried after just 1 year of the first marriage. Unmarried with a child. In jail. Modeling bikinis. I can think of a young person for every one of those disasters who once loved God. Were born in godly homes. They said it never happened to them. Girls, you need to love God with all your mind. You can't afford not to. It has to be full of love for Him. Could you give your body to a lustful man if your mind was full of love for God? Obviously not. Are you going to show off your body if your mind is full of love for God? Can you defy the word of God in any way if you're loving God with all your mind? You're going to defy anything? No? Well, let's think about this. Are we going to be self-conscious or selfish or discouraged or worried or empty-minded or worrying about our future if our whole mind is full of love for God? Isn't that going to help, don't you think? Do you think it shows whether we love God with our whole heart? Think anybody can tell? It affects us so much. Girls, I've spent all week with you, and I haven't gotten to talk to each one of you personally, nor you, me, but we've seen each other around. We've seen each other's countenances. What if, after you watched me all week, I told you that just 4 days from now, Wednesday morning, Mark and I are going to get on a plane and fly to India to see our children and grandchildren that we haven't seen for more than a year? Would you think by my countenance this week that that's maybe true? Maybe I'm excited about that. What do you think? Could that be possible? That's a happy thought. Yeah, it's true. It really is. We're going to, Lord willing, we plan to leave Wednesday morning to go to India. Now let me ask you another question. What if I told you that 3 weeks ago I discovered a lump? And last Friday I had a biopsy. And Wednesday, while you were all practicing choir, I got the report that I have breast cancer. Would you believe that? Does that seem possible? What do you think? That's true too. And I don't tell you that for any reason other than I want you to know that it is possible to love God enough with your whole mind that there is a peace that passes understanding regardless what comes to you in life. There is. The other day I was standing in the back hall and it was cold, so I went back there where the windows let in warm sunshine, and so I stood in the sunshine and I was looking out the window and there's this little strip of blue sky up there you can see. And so I began to talk to God and I said, God, please show me my heart. People who love me cry and I just have peace. Am I not being real? Am I burying my head in the sand? Am I trying to put on a front? What is this? And I was so blessed to have God just tell me very clearly in my spirit, no, Anne, this is the peace that passes understanding. He said it. It's in His Word. It's there. That means it's possible. It really is possible. No wonder God told us to love Him with all our minds, right? He's going to allow things in our life. Every life holds difficulties. You're young enough that yours has held some. My 60 years have held more. And I've walked through enough pretty deep valleys to know my God pretty well. And I trust Him. I absolutely trust Him. I know He's good. He can only be good. He is goodness. After we found this out, my oldest daughter said, Mama, isn't it a blessing? We're the branches. Our Father prunes so that we bring forth more fruit. And isn't it a blessing that our heavenly gardener who sharpens the shears is love? Who can fear? Who can fear a God who is love? But we have to love Him. We have to believe He's love. We have to love Him with our whole minds. Our whole minds have to be clear, full of love. No room left but anything but love. We just love God. A mind full of love for God. Let's talk about some ways to grow in this. Like I said, it really helps that I've had 60 years of practice at this, almost. You're not old enough to have done that long, but I want to tell you girls the difference in the way you'll respond to life's difficulties. Life will have difficulties, I promise you. We are a part of the kingdom of God, living on the earth, which is Satan's, and so there's going to be a war. It's war. Expect it. But how you respond is going to make all the difference. Makes all the difference in the joy in your life and how productive you can be and how useful you can be. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Do you believe that? You believe God wants you to do that. The bigger question is, do you practice that? See, to give thanks when something feels too hard to be thankful for is something you do in your mind, first of all. You have to stop some thoughts and choose other thoughts, thankful thoughts, and then that becomes your actions. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And then what? The peace of God that passes all understanding will fill your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And then that's Philippians 4, where it goes right on and tells us what to think. This is what we do with our minds. God doesn't leave us without a way, girls. He doesn't. If He says to love me with your whole mind, then He's going to show us how to do it. He doesn't ask something of you that He hasn't already decided is good. He's good. He is goodness itself. If you'll cooperate with Him and do it His way, you will experience the joy He wants for you, regardless what your delights or disappointments in life are. But you're going to have to labor to enter into this. It doesn't just happen. The enemy doesn't want you to love God with your whole mind. He simply doesn't. It's a war. You're going to have to exercise in it. The first thing you need to do is want to love God with your whole heart. Number one, you want to love God. So you love God with your whole heart. That has to be first. You have to make that choice. And then I would just like to challenge you with a discipline. Sometimes it helps to just do a very practical thing. It's not going to happen if you say, God, I want to love you with my whole heart, and then you wait to love Him with your whole heart. It's probably not going to happen that way. We labor to enter into being who God wants us to. So I'm going to say, set aside a time. Whatever works for you. Maybe it's every time you hear the clock chime. That would be good. Especially if it's every 15 minutes. Maybe it's every meal. That's pretty far apart to examine your mind. But something, have your phone beep at you every 15 minutes. Whatever. Do something that causes you to stop and purposefully check what your mind has been doing. Be fair. Be honest with your mind. What has my mind been consumed with this last 15 minutes? Have I been thinking about my friends? Or loving God? Have my thoughts been genuinely wholesome? Or just sort of lazy? Let come what may. Maybe you're preoccupied with your acne. That's a fairly waste of time. It doesn't make it go away to think about it. Never did mine. Have you spent your time seeking to lighten Mom's load? What are you doing with your thoughts? Have you found ways to respect your dad? When you sing at church, check yourself. Are you overly conscious of your voice? Or are you worshiping God? The Bible explains this way. This is being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and it needs to happen pretty often. That's why I say 3 times a day really isn't often enough. Set a goal, girls. Think of something right now that you can do that really often during the day you think, what has my mind been doing? Am I loving God more? Am I filling my mind with love? Or am I over here on one of these things that just sort of leaves this big question mark in my mind that invites the enemy to come in? Let me ask you, which of these minds would be easiest to change, do you think? Turn your card over. Let me ask you to write this on the back of your card, and then I'll ask you the same question. It's 5 lines, and I think, though, each line will fit long ways. Right. I am a Christian. Semicolon, my God is good, with a capital G. I am a Christian, and my God is good. Remember, we have to settle that in our minds. Okay, 2nd line, you can ridicule me. 3rd line, you can torture me. 4th line, you can kill me. And what do you think the last line is going to be? But you'll never change my mind. So now I ask you again, which mind is going to be the most able to walk there? Obviously, no brainer. That's why, girls, God said, love me. Just love me with your whole mind. And it's going to solve an awful lot of problems in life. I promise you it will. It'll equip you to bless others. It will equip you to walk through valleys. It will equip you to climb mountains. It will ultimately equip you to glorify your God. And that's what He saved you for. Okay. That's my heart. If I got it out in any way that makes any sense to you, I hope it did, because I long for you. I long for you to go into this next year and want to come back to Bible school next year with a victory report of learning to love God with your whole mind, so your whole mind is just full of love, and a whole gob of that other stuff that wants to plague us is taken care of. There's time if you have a comment. Anybody want to share something? If you don't, we have to just sit here in silence for 5 minutes. That's kind of boring. Yes, Emily, over here on this table, Ruby.
I just wanted to share a little thought. One thing that I think helps, too, in learning to love God with your whole heart is you have to see the other thing as sin. You have to see it as wrong.
Good.
Our flesh loves it and wants to keep dwelling on it, but we have to realize what we're fighting against. It's not just maybe a bad idea, but actually it's being wrong.
Very good, Emily. Yeah, that's so true. God doesn't forgive the thing I'm fighting against. God doesn't forgive my weakness or my challenge or this thing that's driving me crazy. God forgives sin. So when I call a thing sin and I deal with it His way, then it cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Sabina?
I think that if we realize that not loving God with our whole mind is something that will disappoint, or it maybe does more than disappoint, but it disappoints our Savior, then it will be a lot easier to take every thought captive and to fill our minds with God and just loving Him with our whole mind.
Amen.
Because He really deserves all of us. And to just know that and believe that it is sin to not obey Him and to not fill our minds with who He is and I think it would make it a lot easier if we could see that for what it was.
Mm-hmm. Good. Oh, do you know the song, "Oh, I Never Want to Disappoint My Savior"? We don't. Susha?
I think another thing is if you actually just think about what God has really done for us, like how much He loves us. Like, He gave His Son to die for us.
Amen.
And He loves us so much. It really makes you want to, like, think about Him and praise Him all the time.
Amen.
So I think it's good to think of what He's done for us.
Good. Good. Hannah, do you see Hannah's hand, Ruby?
I believe that when we love the Lord with all of our heart, we will continue to walk in all the light He gives us.
Mm-hmm.
What my ability to love God with all my heart today should be much more in a year.
Good.
And that will be tested by if I continue to walk in all the light that is shed on my path.
That's very good. That's exciting. That's really exciting. When you think about you're young and the Lord willing you have lots of years, think how much you're going to love Him as you labor every 15 minutes to be sure I've loved Him this last few minutes. That's exciting. Justina, do you have your hand up? Okay, here, Ruby. Put your hand up so Ruby can see where you are. Good. That's exciting. It's delightful to love God. You think it's going to be fun to love a man. You get excited about loving God.
I was just thinking, my sister always is asking me what I'm thinking. Like, she thinks I think interesting thoughts or something. I don't know. I said I think a lot, so she just loves wondering what I'm thinking all the time. And I was just thinking that it actually would probably help a lot of us to think about more what we think about if we kind of keep each other accountable, just the sisters and things. Just like, what are you thinking? And it's kind of unexpected, and it just makes you stop and like, what am I thinking?
Good. Very good. Yes, because Jesus knows all the time. Good. Anybody else?
Oh, you're testing me.
Selima. That's me? No, not Selima. Rebecca. I'm sorry.
My dad, sometimes at the table, if everybody's quiet, he just asks everybody to say what they're thinking, and sometimes when everything's quiet, then I think, okay, what am I thinking? What would I say if he would ask that?
Good.
And I think that helps. Yeah, if I would think more often what I'm thinking, that would help a lot.
Yes, very good. But again,
thank you for sharing. That was very good.
Keep it up in your uppermost in your mind. God knows what I am thinking. Not asking, He knows. Okay.
And I think I know that when you have a problem with your thinking and you're not quite sure what to do about it, the number one thing is pray. Talk to God about it.
Mm-hmm.
When you find you have temptations that are triggering thoughts that are not conducive, pray. Talk to God about it. And the more you talk to God about it, the more He is going to give you the victory that is yours.
Amen. All right, well, let's do that. Let's pray. God, You are high and holy and lifted up. We bow our heads, God, because you're worthy to be bowed down to. Thank you, Father, that you are a God of love. I pray, Lord, that there's some young lady here, and I'm going to guess there are, whose fathers have not exhibited love. Then, Lord, help them to see you as a shepherd. A shepherd who tenderly cares for the ones he loves. You are love, God, and we acknowledge that. And, Father, we just acknowledge afresh again today, you deserve our love, all of our love in return, our bodies, our hearts, our strength, God, our whole mind. Father, I pray for each one of these dear girls. Would you, oh God, I just bless them, keep them, protect them, give them wisdom, help them to feel your love, give them grace, Father. You know that many of them are struggling with things. God, would you help them to exercise in loving you with their whole minds so that regardless what their lives hold, they have peace, they can joy, they can still walk with you, they can still be useful. Lord, help us to use those things that you allow in our lives to just make us more like you. We do love you, Father. Help us to love you more. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.